The phrase Big Three has become a bigger part of the hip-hop conversation in the past year than it ever was before. Where people used to talk about Mount Rushmores of certain eras, the obsession has now shifted, not just to who's in this elite club, but who exactly the one true GOAT of the class really is. Of course, we're talking about Kendrick, Drake, and J. Cole. These three MCs had the perfect balance of commercial success and critical respect, earning them the title of the kings in modern-day hip-hop. But after the fallout from 2024's Great Rap Civil War between Drake and Kendrick, everything's changed. And now, fans are starting to question if those crown holders still deserve their spot. To others, the whole idea feels outdated or just flat out flawed, especially when there are other artists making just as much noise, if not more, than the ones we're always told are at the top. It's your boy Luesta, and this is why the Big Three is a lie. Because what started as a legendary trio might have ended in a reshuffling of the entire rap game. And today we're breaking down who fumbled, who stayed solid, and who might just be next up. For a long, long time, it was pretty much accepted as a fact of life that Kendrick, Cole, and Drake were the biggest artists in hip-hop today. While each carved out his own lane, they were the kind of artists who could bring the entire game to a halt whenever they dropped, forcing everyone to pay attention and analyze what had just gone down. And for years, this went basically unchallenged by a majority of the hip-hop community. This persisted for years, with the three of them basically being seen in the unobtainable and unequaled space that today's artists could only aspire to come close to. For the most part, the Big Three label was an unspoken truth, never directly acknowledged by the rappers themselves, but likely always lingering in the back of their minds. That is, until Drake and Cole finally put it on wax with First Person Shooter, rapping about who the real GOAT was and boldly declaring,
"Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot, is it Aubrey or me? We the Big Three like we started a league, but right now I feel like Muhammad Ali."
It was the first time that the trio was officially stamped in a song out in the open for the world to debate. And when it comes to Cole, it wasn't his first time addressing his place in the rap hierarchy, as he did something similar on Heaven's EP, where he acknowledged the rankings some fans had in mind. But when Jermaine called himself the Muhammad Ali of the trio, the self-proclaimed King Kendrick wasn't about to let that slide. In classic K-Dot fashion, he fired back with a now iconic line where he said,
"Motherfuck the Big Three, nigga, it's just Big Me."
And from that moment on, everything changed. From push-ups to Euphoria and Family Matters to Not Like Us, K-Dot and Drake duked it out for supremacy. And no matter who you think came out on top, one thing's clear. Right now, it's only Kendrick and Drake who seem to be actively battling for the crown. Meanwhile, the moves, or lack thereof, by the third member of the trio have people wondering if he quietly gave up his spot a long time ago. Whoever's in it, J. Cole is in it. At least, that's how a growing number of fans online see it. Comments like this one have been flooding sites like Reddit whenever the Big Three debate comes up. Although his rhymes often allude to his unparalleled pen game, Cole's words out of the booth have suggested that he's tried to take himself out of the contention for any GOAT talk repeatedly. Instead, he insists he wants to keep things friendly.
Like, nobody can really relate to that like these dudes, and I really genuinely fuck with these dudes. So like, I've been trying to, you know, absolutely make an effort, like as time goes on, to like strip the competition from it. Like, y'all niggas are cemented forever. You know what I mean? Like, I will hope that I'm cemented forever. And if not, I will be, you know, when it's all said and done. In my mind, it's how my mentality is. So it's like, there's like the competition part I've stripped away, and I'm now on some shit like, man, I'm more interested in the relationship, because I also see a time when I'm not doing it.
Since then, he has continued to suggest that Drake was better than him.
Greenville Festival, if that don't make some noise for the motherfucking coach, Drake.
While also standing there and accepting a consultation prize speech directly from Drake.
I gotta say this just because, you know, I don't always want to have like a heartfelt moment when we're on stage together and shit, but you know, you did that pipe down freestyle the other day, right? And you were saying in the freestyle about, you know, they handed you the bronze and whatever, me and Kendrick. I just want you to understand something. You are genuinely, without a doubt, one of the greatest rappers to ever touch a mic in this lifetime.
And I want to let you know, it's way too many people in the world that think and know that J. Cole is at top on the pole position. So don't ask me that shit. I love you with all my heart. You're my brother.
From then on, this kind of love fest was basically commonplace, cementing the idea that J. Cole was one person on the mic and another entirely away from it. He even praised Drake after First Person Shooter for not trying to smoke him on the track.
In that moment, he chose the song over the competition and what they're going to say, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And that takes like a level of egolessness. You're putting your ego to the side. Like, yo, I want to make the best song. For what we have available right now, I want to make the best song. You know what I mean? I will say that the tree and the cloth that I'm cut from and that he's cut from and that Kendrick is cut from, you expect that. You know what I mean? Like you coming up with maybe the music that you was making at 16 and like maybe just stepping into these other events.
Yeah.
I understand that you approaching it from a different mindset where it's like, yo, you're not really a part of like the culture of this event.
Yeah, we don't come from that.
Y'all don't come from that. And that's cool. I love that. I love that y'all don't. I love what y'all, but we do. Drake ain't looking at it like, I'm going to take Cole fucking head off at some point. Nah, he come from that cloth.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, he gonna want his lick back. Like, oh, that's what y'all think? All right, bet.
But all that humility came back to bite him after the Like That era kicked off. Cole dropped 7-Minute Drill, a Kendrick diss that, honestly, didn't move the needle for most listeners. Then, instead of standing on it, he backtracked, saying the track didn't sit right with his spirit, and eventually deleted it off streaming platforms entirely. That one move set the internet on fire, disappointing fans and giving critics all the ammo they needed.
J. Cole committed career suicide. I don't give a fuck what he's saying on the fall off, and I'm a J. Cole fan. I'm deleting all your shit out my iTunes. I want all your posters off my wall. Nigga, I'm not fucking with J. Cole no more. I'm throwing all them fucking Pumas I got. I'm throwing all them shits away. You had some panties on last night, man. You had some boy shorts on under them fucking sweatpants. What you did last night, every nigga that's that nigga in the culture that you're in, trust and believe they looking at you a different way today. You can never come back from this. He gotta cut his dreads. He gotta go back to waves. Fuck let Nas down. You let every nigga that's ever supported your career down last night. That's a fact.
Some even went as far to say that the way he handled it basically disqualified him.
Specifically to Cole, then don't rap about being the one. I'm not disqualifying him from being a great rapper and a great artist and somebody who's beloved and somebody
but you are simultaneously saying he is down a peg.
Absolutely. Yes. Bro, you can't say you're number one and when somebody says, oh, I don't think you are, that's on your level, you go, I don't want to.
But yes, you spent many months, many records, many times saying that you are the GOAT. Matter of fact, the most recent time saying that there's a big three and I'm Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is synonymous with the greatest in physical battle, in battle, Muhammad Ali, right? So you said that. Someone called your bluff and you didn't want to. My real critique of J. Cole before his apology was going to be I thought he overplayed his hand in 7-Minute Drill.
In the aftermath, a lot of Cole fans were left wishing he handled things differently. Because now, for the first time since the mid-2010s, his status as a Big 3 member is really being questioned. If Cole stayed in this beef, the conversation would be very different. Although, J. Cole tried to explain his outlook on Port Antonio, where he claimed he didn't rap because he was in fear of losing his friends.
They see this fire in my pen and think I'm dodging smoke. I wouldn't have lost the battle, dog. I would have lost the pro.
But in a genre where competition is everything, an explanation like that just didn't cut it. To many, hip-hop is a sport, and when you step off the court mid-game, your stock drops. And now, Cole has been getting disrespected in ways that no Big 3 member ever should. That said, there's still a chance to turn things around. His long-anticipated album, The Fall Off, is still on the way, and with all the hype surrounding it, it could be his shot at redemption. But it's clear that he's still as much of a relevant figure as ever, even though his enemies and doubters are now trying to capitalize on the weaknesses they see. This is why he's catching smoke from Kanye without even being visible in the public eye at the moment.
Changing gears here, Kanye West. Y'all know Kanye get on X and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a fan was tweeting about J. Cole and posted J. Cole's verse that he did on Johnny P's Caddy with Benny the Butcher. And he was basically saying that J. Cole spared Kendrick by not getting into the whole battle.
Oh, God.
So insert Kanye West, or yay. He responded and said, I hate J. Cole music so much. It's like between Kendrick and J. Cole, I bet you industry plans asked J. Cole to diss Drake. Then we would have been accosted with a J. Cole Super Bowl commercial with no SZA song to save it. No one listens to J. Cole after losing their virginity.
Oh my God.
When I met up with Drake during Donda, most of the convo was me telling him he was hurting hip hop by giving J. Cole platform, and I was saying how much I loved Future.
Now, it's funny that the enraged yay mentioned the Toxic King himself. Because in the wake of Cole essentially forfeiting his position in the eyes of many fans, it leaves a vacant spot. And to some of the hip-hop audience, there's no more suitable candidate than Pluto. Real ones know that Future is number two behind Drake for the past 15 years, but he doesn't have the same commercial appeal as Cole and Kendrick. When you go outside, especially if you live in the South, you always hear Future in clubs, lounges, people's cars, etc. Future's catalog can go against anyone, This is from a user who was discussing why he thought Future should be in the Big Three conversation. But while there is a notion that he should be occupying the position just behind Drake in the rankings, there are others, such as 21 Savage, who insist that when it comes to appealing to the streets, he is unequaled.
Niggas don't be listening to Drake like that. Well. If I wasn't a rapper, I don't feel like I still would listen to Drake for real. It's just I'm a rapper, so I understand the work he put in now, how hard he go. Wait, like, when you ain't no rapper, all them statistics don't mean shit. A regular street nigga don't give a fuck about how many times you went number one. Like, how many white people listen to your shit, because they don't even think that. Them niggas, the farthest they think is the club. Who's selling this club out? That's who they think is the biggest niggas. Like, in Atlanta, it's a lot of niggas who you really can't tell them Future ain't bigger than Drake.
Really?
On God, nigga. I used to think that. Drake ain't really no big mixtape artist like that. How you got all your Drake albums, you probably really went in the store and bought them motherfuckers. Every Future album I ever heard was a bootleg. Niggas was bootlegging it or going to live mixtapes. So when Nothing Was the Same or whatever, all that type of shit came out, nigga ain't knowing how to get to that shit.
After 9 studio albums, various collaborative projects, and dozens of platinum plaques, Future has arguably earned his position as one of the true greats. Sure, there are some who have critiqued his lack of shift in subject matter, or felt that his refusal to evolve beyond his own sound limits him. But much like J. Cole, Future knows what he excels at and sticks with it. However, the idea that he should occupy a space in the Big Three isn't even a new idea. In fact, people like Charlamagne and DJ Vlad have been debating this position for years.
So J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake. They are the bar. Remember when Jay-Z said he used to argue all day about who's the best MCs, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas? It's Cole, Kendrick, Drake. Those are the three.
I think that Future is hotter than Kendrick right now. And I would probably also say that Future is hotter than J. Cole right now. Yeah, right. Actually, I would say that. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
That's not true. You know what? Hot maybe. Because hot is relative. Hot means for the moment.
For the moment. Right now, people are checking for Future more than they are checking for Kendrick.
Yeah, but guess what? J. Cole and Kendrick have amazing catalog.
Kendrick has 2 albums.
And Section 80 mixtape.
Okay, fine.
You know what I'm saying? Kendrick's going on tour next month. J. Cole's been on tour all year. Like, J. Cole's platinum with no features, no single.
I understand that. But in terms of the impact, I believe that Future has more impact than J. Cole and Kendrick.
In this interview from 2015, Charlamagne seemed to think that there were limitations to his appeal that stopped him from really obtaining that spot. However, he acknowledged his impact on the culture and that rappers were beginning to take cues from the ATL rapper.
Future is getting into legendary status because of everything he represents, everything he stands for, like certain lingo. Like, motherfuckers is sending out pictures of Gucci flip-flops just to let niggas know I'm fucking your girl. Like, don't get me wrong, Future's getting into legendary status. And all these guys are getting into legendary status, but I see overall impact broader from Kendrick, Cole, and Drake. Because Future is still for the hood. Future is still for the street. Future's for the trap.
Now, 10 years down the line, Future's influence isn't a matter of discussion, but a simple fact.
I think the most influential artist actually of the past 10 years is Future.
Oh.
Most important, most influential to our sound today.
In the aftermath of the insane degree of longevity and the way he's altered the hip-hop landscape as we know it, this has made Charlamagne change his tune to the point that he argues for a Big Four rather than a Big Three. This came after the milestone he achieved with We Don't Trust You.
Okay, Future has another number one album.
Ooh!
That is 9 number ones for him. If I'm not mistaken, that makes him the number 5 or number 6 rapper with the most number ones of all time. Am I making this up? I'm not making this up, right? If you really want to get a little spicy, Future could be in the Big Three.
You mean? So it's Drake, Future, J. Cole?
I would have Drake, Future, Kendrick. I would have Drake, Future, Kendrick, personally. The only reason I wouldn't put Future over Cole, because statistically, if you're talking about like numbers and all of that, Future's over Cole. But lyrically, if you're talking about Big Three, you got to have Cole in the Big Three.
With his numbers and his contributions to the sound and style of the culture outweighing Cole's, it seems like Future is a strong candidate to be seen right alongside Dot, Drake, and Jermaine in basically every metric. The only notable difference is that they are all relatively bar heavy, whereas Pluto is all about a vibe. But even though he could be up there, it doesn't mean that he's campaigning for this position, as unlike artists like Kendrick and Drake, who seem intent on claiming the title of the greatest, Future just seems happy to be rich and relevant.
I'm happy as I shouldn't be. I shouldn't even be this
Yeah. I'd be like, man, it's so much shit that about me that's not right. Man, why I'm this happy? I'd be like, man, I don't even, because it's just, I'm living my dream.
In terms of changing the sound of hip hop, Future's illustrious run in the mid-2010s is nearly untouchable. But there have been some who have taken his teachings and expanded on them, to the point that when you're talking about the biggest artist out right now, it'd be delusional to exclude them from that conversation. From the release of Rodeo in 2015 onwards, there have been few artists who've reached as much consistent love from the world as Travis Scott. From Birds in the Trap Sing Like McKnight to 2018's Astroworld, LaFlame seemed to be on a constant rise. After all, Astroworld debuted atop the US Billboard 200 with 537,000 album equivalent units. From then on out, it seemed like he was at the top of the world, and it took a major disaster to even briefly bring him down. Without going into too much depth, the Astroworld Festival disaster became a major blemish on his career, leading to companies like Nike momentarily backing away from him as they tried to establish where the blame should be laid. After laying low for a while after an apology video backfired, he settled hundreds of lawsuits relating to the situation and insists he is still haunted by it, which is something he expressed during an interview with GQ where he stated, "I was just overly devastated. I always think about it. Those fans were like my family. I love my fans to the utmost. It has its moments where it gets rough, and yeah, you just feel for those people and their families." The reason why it's worth mentioning when it comes to being one of the kings of hip-hop is that few careers could ever recover from that. But after finally releasing Utopia in 2023, Travis hasn't just returned to where he was at, but has surpassed Kanye West to become the third most streamed rapper of all time on Spotify. That's above Kendrick and Cole when it comes to numbers. This was only possible because music is his lifeblood, with everything being geared towards getting up on that stage again.
You always working, Trav, always making music?
Hell yeah, man.
Every day?
Yeah, Trav's got unlimited energy.
I know, I don't know, I don't get it.
Unlimited energy, bro, all the time.
Do you ever get tired?
I mean, yeah, I get sleepy.
I'm not like a robot.
Yeah, I get sleepy, but I mean, it's like fun to me. When I get bored, that's when I get tired. But I try to find fun in like everything I do.
Is performing more fun, making it more fun?
Performing it might be like the best. It's like, it's the real party. And it's like, I make music to perform it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, so when you go in the studio, you're like, I'm making this. How would it sound when I perform it?
Yeah, it can be like the loudest or the calmest song. Like, you know, I just wanna.
Yeah, but also you just add that all the fans is going crazy in there. It's just like a drug.
Yeah.
Beyond that, he also has ambitions of achieving more and is angered by what he sees as repeated Grammy snubs.
Are we maybe putting too much importance on one award show, like when you are the culture?
People always talk about that. I think about it like a club, right? If there's a club, a Grammy club, right? And it's like, man, you got Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, like these are real greats. Kanye West, you know, Jay-Z. I'm at that mother, like, at the rope, like, yo.
Plus, for a long time now, he hasn't only been a collaborator of every rapper in the so-called Big Three, but has gained their admiration as well. In fact, in Kendrick's case, he was even in awe of how much mutual appreciation there was.
I was like, yo, man, I need this K-Dot verse, because I seen him, he had a show, and people started singing Antidote, and he was, like, doing it with him. I was like, I'm on Kendrick radar, and that was the second time I met him at the VMAs before. Like, he walked up to me, he's like, yo, man, my name's Kendrick, da-da-da, your music's very inspirational, I love it, it's, like, super dope, I love your last album. I was like, what? Bro, you know, you be barring ends out. You know, you be RIPing ends on the track, man. Like, he just walked up to me and was just like, yo, I'm Travis. I think when I be rapping, I be like really listening to your music. Like, man, this dude's just said a lot of bars, man. Like, these raps I got right here be looking like this, man. Like, spaced out. I'm like, man.
Meanwhile, if the rumors are true, he may have some secret smoke for Drake.
You've said there's a big rapper who secretly hates Drake despite having big records with him.
Yeah.
And some people are saying it's Travis Scott, but you didn't confirm it. So can you confirm it?
I'm gonna leave that one in the air, but
you denying it's Travis Scott?
The reason why I don't want to confirm it is because these rapper relationships are fickle. And the moment I confirm it, these two guys are gonna become friends again, and I look like idiotic, right?
So with the sales he commands and the tours he sells out across the world, what is stopping him from being viewed in the same way as Cole, Kendrick, and Drake? Well, one main reason is that if you ask Travis himself, he's not even playing the same game as them. As while he does incorporate elements of hip-hop into his music, the bars aren't the focus, and he doesn't want to be pigeonholed.
Are you a rapper? How do you describe yourself?
I just say I'm an artist. I'm
an artist.
Yeah, because I got big songs where I'm like not rapping.
Yeah, of course.
At all. Like Goosebumps is like Diamond, and you know, I don't rap at all. And then I got songs like Sycamore where I'm rapping, and it's like, you know,
diamond too, so I'm just an artist, I guess.
That alone explains a lot. Because if we're talking about impact, Travis is easily on the same level as the so-called Big Three. But by constantly pushing beyond the limits of traditional hip-hop, he's never really tried to be a part of that conversation, and he's not the only one who feels that way. Another strong contender with a similar mindset is Tyler, the Creator. As in his view, the term hip-hop or urban music limits what he's really trying to achieve.
On one side, I'm very grateful that what I made could just be acknowledged in a world like this. But also, it sucks that whenever we, and I mean guys that look like me, do anything that's genre bending or that's anything, they always put it in a rap or urban category. And I don't like that urban word. It's just a politically correct way to say the N-word to me. So when I hear that, I'm just like, why can't we just be in pop? You know what I mean? So half of me feels like the rap nomination was a backhanded compliment. Like, oh, my little cousin wants to play the game. Let's give him the unplugged controller so he could shut up and feel good about it. That's what it felt like a bit.
Currently touring the globe following the release of his latest album, Chromacopia, the former Odd Future leader is operating at the peak of his powers right now, with the album's 299,500 equivalent units, marking his biggest streaming and sales week ever. Tyler has gone from strength to strength while always remaining in his own lane. Although he's proven in recent years that he's a student of the game, leaning into his love of hip-hop. Putting up numbers which rival, if not surpass, what Kendrick and Drake have done in recent years, there is a case to be made that Tyler has overcome a lot to get to the point where he could be considered for a spot. Because he's battling the deficit of the days where he willingly allowed audiences to take him less seriously.
Does the hype change your view on life? Yes, it kind of sucks because people are expecting shit, but they don't know anything because it's just hype. They don't really know history or anything. They just know one song and then go based on that.
Then everything changed when his hero, Pharrell, sat him down and helped him realize there was another way.
Pharrell looked at me and said,
make something undeniable and make it equally as infectious. Why are you doing music? Is it just because you just want to look cool? Because that will burn out. When it becomes purpose-oriented, it can be as cool as the flashy shit, but it will be much more meaningful.
Oh, fuck. Okay, no more being silly, no more music first. And at that moment, I just wanted to change everything. I just wanted to switch, and the switch fucking happened.
Alongside that, his music has matured to the point where now he's undeniable.
If I had started making music at 24, bro, I would, if I started at Flower Boy and then this, bro, I would be a god. Like, I didn't realize I should stop yelling on songs till I was 24.
But there are reasons why he isn't always taken into consideration, aside from how he started out. Much like Travis, Tyler himself doesn't care for the debate of coming to a culture-wide consensus top three, only about what individual fans enjoy.
I tried to bait Tyler last night into the whole big best rapper in the game, you know, the Big Three. They talk about the Drake, Kendrick, Coles. He wouldn't go for it. He says,
bro,
the only thing.
Who gives a fuck? Hey, and you know what? You know what annoys me when people are like, this is my top five, and people argue it. Like, you got 17-year-olds like, yeah, like, dude, fucking Ready to Die and Enter the Wu-Tang is my top 10 album ever. I'm like, bro, you just got hair on your dick. Stop. It's performative. It's like, that's your, and again, some people might be right, but I'm right. Like, that's you got young boys and babies out here, and that's your favorite. Like, I don't care about people's objective top nothing. Tell me what is your favorite shit, because you learn so much from people. You get context. I want to know why you think Pookie Dookie's second album is your favorite.
Instead, he's claimed his own title that he seems more interested in, referring himself to the biggest out of the city after Kenny, that's a fact now, on his Hey Now remix. Beyond that, he's become increasingly protective over the culture, becoming jaded with how hip-hop is seen and exploited today.
Is your frustration with them because you care about this art form so much?
Dude, I love this art form so much, bro, and there's so many niggas out right now that aren't musicians that are getting treated like musicians because they make meme records or whatever. And these niggas publicly will be like, I don't give a fuck about music, I just do this shit for money. Like,
I agree with you.
Like, get your bag, I love that. But like, when every publication is like, hell yeah, let's put that out, a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 20-year-old gonna see that and be like, shit, I don't really care about this shit too, this a quick bag. Now you taking up space for niggas like me.
That
you
really
taking
wanna
up space
be
for people who really care about this art form. And like, I don't like that.
Still, there are those who have pushed for him to be given a spot. most notably Anthony Fantano.
What I'm trying to say here is, through his own way, on his own path, Tyler, the Creator, has become one of the biggest stars in hip-hop music. It's to the point where I feel like it's time for a discussion as to whether or not he is worthy of consideration for what we would call the big three. The three biggest, most impactful, most relevant, most significant current-day hip-hop artists alive and active, doing their thing in the mainstream.
With a catalog like the one he has and the shows he sells out, it's certainly a worthwhile argument. However, the reasons why he's now seen in this light isn't just based on the music itself. Recently, the company man Justin Hunt explained why he appeals to so many people, as he believes it's his authenticity and longstanding cultural impact that helps him get there.
With Tyler, he has all those things. His interviews are crazy. His social media presence is uproarious, but very poignant, because he's very honest. Anytime he does a conversation, whenever he has an issue with something, he has an issue with something, which means he has a point of view. We know what Tyler likes and doesn't like. That immediately brings people closer to you. And then you start just thinking about the impact of Loiter Squad. He had a whole sketch comedy show. So there's a whole generation that grew up laughing with Odd Future and the crew. You know, you look at the success of Earl, for example, or Frank Ocean, for example, right? So we've seen other Odd Future, Tyler, the Creator products have incredible appeal from a music standpoint on their own. You look at the success of his festival. You have a whole, at least Los Angeles, a whole coast of people who are used to running to Golf Wang's store or to Camp Flognaw and experiencing Tyler's imagination and his perspective, perhaps separate from his music altogether.
Over the course of his now lengthy career, Tyler has created a world for his fans to delve into, where there are many who will count him as their favorite artist. And to him, this is probably a bigger accolade than being viewed like Cole, Kendrick, or Drake is. But he's not the only potential applicant for a position in this crowded marketplace at the top who has a cult following. Just a few months back, Playboi Carti fans were essentially saying they were done with him, even planning boycotts of his music. But this was all just to leverage the release of his album. And if anything, it speaks to just how important he is to the modern landscape. Not to mention that even without dropping a project for 5 years, he was a key player in some of the biggest songs in recent years, like Kanye and Ty Dolla Sign's Carnival, Future and Metro Boomin's Type Shit, Travis Scott's Fiend, and The Weeknd's Timeless. And when his album Music finally emerged in March of this year, it immediately became the biggest rap album of 2025 so far, with sales that nearly tripled the opening week performance of the beloved Whole Lotta Red. And as far as his fans are concerned, all was immediately forgiven.
This does not feel real. First thoughts?
First thoughts, man. I mean, listen, 30 songs. We know that when it comes to Cardi, obviously, as of late, he's been going more into like the deep voice. And I think that that's something that like I was happy about with this album, is the fact that you're getting his most diverse vocal performance out of any album in his entire catalog. So that was really cool to see. I think some people might take issue with like the low distorted vocals that sound similar to Future. But if he's pitching down his vocals and sounds like Future, it's not really his fault, right? Did it live up to the hype for you, bro?
Yes, it did. It absolutely did. I'll explain to you why. Regardless of 30 songs or not, I kind of see this as like a Donda situation, right? Where you go into a Donda, you have songs like Okay and Junior. In my opinion, at least, those are songs I'm never revisiting. There's going to be bloat in every track list that's going to have like 25 plus songs. What I was impressed with this studio album is the format of the songs, because this felt like a true Southern mixtape. For example, looking at the Drought 3, right? Extreme runtime on that album, or should I say that mixtape, but you go song for song and there's quality all over it.
A mysterious artist who keeps his fans on their toes musically, Cardi's effect on the game at the moment is easily up there with the biggest names. Love him or hate him, one thing's clear. Everybody's got an opinion on Cardi. But while fans and critics debate who deserves a seat at the table, there's another side to the whole Big Three conversation. One that says the list can't be changed. Because to some in the culture, Kendrick, Drake, and Cole already earned that title by coming out on top during that era. And that kind of legacy can't just be rewritten. People are misunderstanding what the Big Three is. K-Dot, Cole, and Drake were dubbed the Big Three because they all blew up around that same time. Travis is not eligible for the Big Three. Travis is after the blog era and before the SoundCloud era. Instead of arguing that there should be additions to the Big Three as it stands, these kinds of individuals suggest that there is a Big Three for another era, and the candidates for those who were actually around at the time are the only ones eligible. And while it's hard to believe, there was a time where people like Big Sean, Wale, and Meek Mill were genuinely in contention for one of those spots. And even today, places like the Need to Know podcast are still debating where they fit in below it.
If you had to rank the Big Three number two, the second
second big three.
Second tier?
The second big three of Wale, Big Sean, and Meek Mill. How would you rank those gentlemen?
Who's going first?
Easy, for me at least. Wale, Meek Mill, Big Sean.
Oh, I'm going Wale, Big Sean, then Meek Mill.
I'm not mad at that.
Okay, so Big Sean, I feel like every time we talk about Big Sean, I'm always like, I don't have amnesia. Like, he literally had hits. Marvin Gaye and Chardonnay, sure. My Last, like, Dark Sky Paradise, the entire album was phenomenal. So, like, I do think he makes great music, but Wale, when you think about it, he always makes great music. Like, he's never, like, dipped. So that's why he's my number one.
And the Pen Game. Like, I've never cringed at a Wale verse.
Yeah, like, he makes, you know what I mean? Even today, like, he makes great songs. Whereas, like,
I've Big cringed Sean, at some Big Sean bars.
Yeah, Big Sean and Meek Mill both dipped in terms of music quality. And then Big Sean, I just love him so much. Like, I'm never giving up on Big Sean. I'm excited for the album. And then Meek Mill, I do think he had like a amazing era.
Yeah.
But that era is not here anymore.
In Big Sean's case, he has acknowledged the ways in which he distanced himself from the whole scenario, believing that a lack of consistency was a driving factor, but believes he can still go toe-to-toe with them.
But I also understand that I have been very inconsistent as an artist. My consistency is where I lack. I say that in that too. It's like, I haven't put out music in 4 years, bro, essentially. You know what I mean? I haven't put a project out, so I can't expect to be in that conversation when I haven't been consistently feeding hip-hop and feeding fans and feeding, you know, and that's something that, as an artist, it hurts because I do need to, the people who do rock and ride for me, like, I want to give them reasons to be fans, and I think that just comes with more consistency. Yeah, and even, like, with Control, the next song we did, I made sure I had a better verse on Holy Key, with, and that was just because I was like, wait, hold up, you know, I gotta, like, make sure I'm repping my shit proper right now.
But despite his insistence that he could still be considered in the same breath as those individuals, Big Sean has essentially reverted back to being an underground MC, with a major label backing when it comes to his sale. As where Dark Sky Paradise shifted 173,000, his last album, Better You Than Me, only moved to 22K. And that just isn't Big 3 material. As for Wale, he claims he was simply too friendly for it, prioritizing relationships with other big names over coming for their throats.
How competitive are you when you're making these albums, man?
Man, it's weird, man, because it's like, I wish there was more camaraderie amongst, like, people that are, like, in my cipher. People that are, like, that I feel like
are on that class.
Yeah, because I don't want to say nobody's music is more important or less important, but, like, it's people that the fans would assume that, like, really, like, have a bond. And, like, I try to create that, but I don't know if people are as accepting. I think the competitive nature in the joint is at a level now that it's really just cordial. Like, yeah. We cool, but it's not like, now I would love to sit and talk and be like, yo, what do you think about the culture? What do you think about what's going on right now? Like, what do you think we could do? Like, we don't, because we're all dropping out at different times. We're not really competing with each other, essentially. We are in the grand scheme of, like, the game, but, like, what you think, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it ain't really like that.
But it doesn't help that even though his music stays solid, it's been pulling in fewer listeners, and the critical acclaim has started to dip too. He got so frustrated that at one point, he even lashed out at Complex journalists just for leaving his album off their year-end best of list.
There's no disrespect, man. I mean, straight up, I really...
Fuck you, dog! You know I'm disrespect every fucking time, dog!
And from that moment of weakness, there has been no traction quite like what we had seen before. As for Meek, a combination of jail time, his handy defeat to Drake, and his antics left him out of the running. Even in the eyes of Cameron, he was right there at one point.
And I asked that, no shade against Meek Mill, I just asked that because when people hear of that group, you know, they often say, at one time I did have Meek in that group, but I wanted to know if you had him in that group. Like, when it comes to, when they say the Big Three, he would be in that class of MCs, but for some reason, they don't put him in the Big Three.
To me, and Meek is my guy, it's no slight to us, disrespect Meek. I think Meek is almost like, and I don't want to say it's like, you know, back in the days when you go to jail, that shit pop off for you or something. Like, you come on, like, oh, Tupac went to jail, or even T.I.
Every time
T.I. would go to jail, or whoever
Gucci
comes to.
Man.
Yeah, Gucci, man, great example. Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that works in this era. It on the cusp of being mentioned with those three and other things, whether it's beefing with the label, whether it's going to jail for a little while, whether not putting out music as much as they have. I don't know what it is, but he was right there at one particular point for me. Not saying he's not good now. I'm just saying he was at times going to be considered one of them ones to me.
However, there are still some street-oriented rappers who won't listen to the notion that Meek doesn't have a major place in the culture. And in a clip that's left a lot of people scratching their heads, G Herbo placed the Philly rapper in an entirely new bracket.
Who's your big three in hip-hop, man? Could be now, could be then. You know, when it comes to crafting your musical taste, you know what I'm saying? Who's your big three?
I'm gonna go Rod Wave.
Rod Wave on fire. Let's go.
Rod Wave, Meek.
Rod Wave and Meek on the squad. Okay.
And then third, I go Baby. Little Baby. Yeah.
It's a fire three right there.
Clearly, the notion of a big three isn't an exact science, and there's no exact way to prove who should and shouldn't be there. But in truth, it's looking increasingly like the generational gap means that the whole concept isn't really fit for purpose. These days, there are so many rappers who seem just as culturally relevant as some of those in those hallowed positions, if not more so in some cases. As for those who still adhere to the idea, they believe that the whole way that the music industry works now compared to when Cole, Kendrick, and Drake were coming up means that it's hard to really get to that position today. Not to mention, some of the artists who are next in line to take over never got the chance, taken out before they could truly reach their potential. The 2010s was the last generation of rappers where the gatekeepers still technically existed, and they had artist management, and they had to be good. The next generation grew up with the internet and could use those tools to make music regardless of talent level. And it didn't help that those who were getting bigger and started to create new sounds like XXXTentacion, Juice WRLD, and Pop Smoke died. Whoever your personal favorite out of the big three is, it seems like that's a conversation that needs to be left in 2024. Because by the looks of it, the whole model doesn't apply to the hip-hop world we're in today. Because while their longevity is unquestioned, the idea that there's only space for this trio at the top has long since become outdated and replaced with a world where individual fan bases can push a chosen few artists to heights comparable to theirs, if not higher at the moment. It's your boy Luesta, and I want to thank y'all for watching today's video. As always, I'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.